Mike DeGubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we're delighted that you're joining us again today, beloved, that we can share together in the truth of the eternal God. If you'll get your Bible or New Testament and follow along with us, I think your life and heart will be blessed and encouraged. Those of you who have a Bible, if you'll go to the first book of the Bible, once again we'll start with Genesis chapter 3. And then we will be going to the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the third book in the New Testament, for those of you who just have a New Testament. And we'll be discussing the Scripture there in Luke chapter 1. But to begin with here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, where Adam and Eve have disobeyed God, sin has entered in, and the Lord God is pronouncing upon each one of them the results of their sin. And in verse 14, we see a remarkable prophecy, a wonderful, marvelous prophecy that God gave that was fulfilled centuries, many centuries later. Here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And now comes the prophecy, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now here we see this remarkable and wonderful prophecy that God gives. It's a twofold prophecy. One, it's referring to the physical serpent, the snake itself. The snake, which was a beautiful creature in the Garden of Eden, was cursed because it was used by Satan to deceive Eve and to thus deceive Eve, and Adam deliberately disobeyed God, and thus the human race came into sin and separation from God because of man's rebellion and man's disobedience. Thus, we see the curse that was placed on the serpent was that it would crawl on its belly and eat dust and be like snakes are today. That was the curse put upon it, and that there would be enmity between the serpent and the woman. Now, most women have no enjoyment around snakes. Most women hate snakes. There's something about a snake that women just do not like, cannot understand. That was one of the meanings. But the second meaning is the more beautiful and wonderful meaning that impacts and has to do with the life of every individual on the face of the earth. The second meaning was speaking to Satan himself. As we read in the book of Revelation, Satan is called that old serpent, the devil, which deceiveth the whole world, in Revelation chapter 12. And so we see that God is speaking to Satan when he says that, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Now, in regards to physical birth, women do not have seed of their own. Women have the egg in which the seed is implanted to produce a child. The man has the seed. And so this remarkable statement, her seed, is a very unusual statement. What in the world is it referring to? Her seed. Her descendant, in other words, would bruise the head of Satan. And Satan would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. We do not see the fulfillment or understanding of this until we come to the New Testament. However, there are passages of Scripture that refer to the seed of the woman. We read in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now this is a remarkable statement here in Isaiah 14, some 700 years, I believe it was, before Christ was born, that this prophecy was made concerning a virgin who would bear a child whose name would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so we see the fulfillment of this in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, where an angel appeared to a young Jewish virgin, and in verse 30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Now here's this young, probably a teenage girl that the angel Gabriel appears to and tells her that she has been chosen to be the one through which the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, would come into the world in physical form. It's a remarkable, remarkable statement. And in verse 34, Mary asks a question. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now Mary was engaged to Joseph. We read in verse 27, "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph." She was engaged to a man. So what does she mean when she says, "I know not a man"? She was speaking in regards to sexual involvement with a man. She said, "I've never been sexually involved with any man. I am a virgin. And so how can I, as a virgin, give birth to a child?" And so notice the answer of the angel Gabriel in verse 35. "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." It was through the power of Almighty God that the Holy Spirit of God would give Mary the seed necessary for her to conceive the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the miracle. It was a miracle wrought by God Himself. Something that was beyond the natural. It was supernatural that Mary would have a child who would be Emmanuel, which is the eternal God in human form. And so we see that Mary arises then after the angel has appeared to her, has told her this wonderful statement. Mary said, verse 38, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. This young virgin was willing to endure all that would come as a result of this miraculous birth that people would not understand, that people would think that she had been living in sin outside of marriage and would scorn her. And Joseph himself, her own a husband-to-be that she was engaged to, would not understand. And so she goes away to visit with her cousin Elizabeth in the hill country of Judea. Verse 39, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." Now Elizabeth was her cousin. And Zacharias had been a priest in the temple at Jerusalem. And Zacharias had had a vision. If you'll go back, you can read in the first part of the chapter how that he had had a vision. That is, an angel had appeared to him and told him that he and Elizabeth were going to have a child. And they were old. They were in old age. It seemed impossible. And Zacharias just couldn't believe this. And so the angel said, "This will be a sign. You'll be struck dumb until the child is born." And he could not say another word after that. He was speechless.
And so Mary comes to visit Elizabeth. And she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now notice, Elizabeth is with child. She's carrying within her womb a young baby, a child that would become John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in fulfillment of Old Testament scriptures. And so the baby leaped in the womb of Elizabeth when the baby heard Mary, the voice of Mary, the Holy Ghost, said, "This is the one that you will represent to the baby." And the baby leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. And so Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now, Mary has not told Elizabeth that she's with child. In those days, they didn't have telephones, and they didn't have mail service like we have today. And so it was through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God that Elizabeth realized that Mary was with child. And listen to what Elizabeth says. "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." This is of God, beloved. This is a miracle. This is marvelous that Elizabeth, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, would be able to say such words that would comfort Mary, that would encourage Mary, that would establish certainty in Mary's heart that this is coming to pass, that I am pregnant with this one who will be called Emmanuel, who will be God in human form. And so the words of Elizabeth, they verify what the angel has said, and they give confidence and assurance to Mary that sure enough, this baby will be Messiah. This baby will be the eternal God in human form. Glory be to the Lord God. Oh, beloved, how wonderful is this wonderful statement. How wonderful. Till next time, goodbye.